out of the book of Matthew chapter 5. I did dismiss the youth, didn't I? You guys, all the youth that are here can be dismissed. Go upstairs to the Edge Youth Ministries. I'll be reading in Matthew 5 in a moment. I'm on this series. It's called The Blessed Life. And I'm going to be speaking here again this morning about the fact that you are already blessed. Now, last week I began talking about how we are more like a tree than an onion. And I appreciate this newer lady here named Maria talking about planting a rose bush. You can do that if you have my permission. Just don't plant any onion plants out there. And we want to see his place beautified. We want to see his place glorified here. But I talked about how we really are more like a tree than an onion because we take and peel the layers of an onion off because we are many layered people. The Bible says God's made works for us to do in advance, even for the very foundation of the world. We're more like a tree because if you peel the onion away, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller and becomes less and less significant. But the Bible says the path of the righteous is more like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. So we're those that are like a tree that are adding more and more rings to our lives every single year we're alive in Jesus Christ. And the good news is the older a tree gets, it becomes more fruitful, not just for itself, but also for all the birds, all the squirrels, all the people who have the shade, who receive the benefit from the lumber one day from that failed tree. And so we're like that tree that even bears fruit in our old age. Even when we die and go to heaven, we're still going to be bearing fruit upon the earth by our legacy, as trees will do upon the face of the earth. This whole building here is full of trees that have passed away that are now boards and now timbers that help make buildings like this. We're going to be finding ourselves still bearing fruit even beyond the grave. Amen. We're looking here this morning here now a thing called the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus Christ himself. And this here is this whole message here of Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7 is based on the sayings of Jesus Christ. It culminates in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and actually puts them into practice, he is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock, upon a firm foundation. So when he gave this Sermon on the Mount here, he said, those who hear what I say and then put what I say actually into practice, he's like that wise man who builds his house upon the rock. When the storms of life come that come to every person on the earth, it says his house will stand. And God wants us to know again, no matter what the Antichrist or the rapture of the church, as he culminates the last of the ages here upon us, takes place upon this earth, God says no matter what the world throws at us in these last days, no matter what Satan throws at the world as well, we still have God on our side. And he wants our house to be built upon a firm foundation, not fearing things that are coming upon the face of the earth. So let's read here now Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read here through verse 12, a thing called the Sermon on the Mount, because in these verses we see the word blessed again and again and again. And my main goal this morning is to help you realize we are all blessed who belong to God. I'm going to convince you of that. I'm going to show you in Scripture about that. We're going to see what God says about you to realize you are already blessed in Jesus' name. Verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up on a mountain. When he was seated, his disciples came to him. He opened up his mouth and taught them and said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are reviled and persecuted around you, and people say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they also persecuted the prophets who actually went there before you. It's been largely taught that this Sermon on the Mount is all about sowing and reaping. That if I will do these things, I'll be blessed. And if I sow into things like being merciful, mourning and weeping and being persecuted there, if I sow into that, I'm going to reap the other side of those sentences. Well, as you realize this morning, it's really not what God's Word is saying in that. It's not more of a sowing and reaping principle that Christ talks about here. It's more about letting us realize what the kingdom of God works in us and the rewards that God will give to us on this earth by what God sows into us, by as God transforms us, God changes us, because the fact is you are already blessed. You're not blessed if you do these things, Christ is saying. You are already blessed. These things in the Sermon on the Mount here have already been worked in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, there shall be changes take place in your thoughts, your speech, your attitudes, your actions. And from that shall come then blessings on the other side. Rewards will come to you even in this life, but also in the life to come. To talk about your blessings happening right now, look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 on the screen here. Galatians 3:29 says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Notice how it says seed there, singular, not seeds, plural. It talks about the seed being Jesus Christ. Those who are Abraham's descendants, those who belong to Jesus Christ, they are those that receive the promises Abraham himself received. Now, what are the blessings that God gave Abraham? Well, the answer to that's found back in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is what God pronounces upon Abraham. And it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. That sounds a whole lot like, come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen? To receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're coming out of the kingdom of hell and darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous light. Then he goes on and says this, because you've done this, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall also be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So if we are Christ's, we are Abraham's seed, and we are heirs of the promise, we need to realize that we're not trying to get blessed. We already are blessed. Amen? I heard these testimonies today, and I appreciate so much what Patricia said to us, what Linda said to us as well. But I would ask you to kind of go out on a limb here, and I say it'd probably be a fact that these ladies went through some things in their own lives that made them feel depressed, de-blessed. They feel like taking their own lives sometimes because there are so many adverse circumstances happening to them, like all of us sometimes on the earth. We don't feel blessed. It doesn't seem like we're blessed. It might even seem like it's actually a curse on us. We don't even feel like being alive on the face of the earth. I want to ask you a question. When the Israelites were facing the Red Sea, and here come the Egyptians crowding in behind them to take their lives and kill them, do you think they felt blessed? But the other question is, were they blessed? You see, we know the answer of the other side of the Red Sea, how God did a miracle, God parts the waters, God drowns the Egyptian, God saves their lives. We know they were blessed. They didn't know that, though, because they saw adverse circumstances as a sign we're really cursed. We really have got bad things on us. There's a black cloud over our head. Even though God brought us out of Egypt now, we're going to now be killed at the hand of the Egyptians. We're really cursed. And there's many folks in the body of Christ that believe just like that themselves, because they're going through sometimes reversals or bad circumstances, or the power of darkness around them is actually getting some victories here, there, or yonder. They actually feel like they're cursed. But the fact is, you are blessed. Because God is the author and finisher of your faith. No matter what you go through in a bad season for your life, it will not last forever. And on the other side of what you go through here, as far as valleys are concerned, because goodness and mercy follows you every day of your life, you're going to find yourself laying down in green pastures, and you're going to find yourself being promoted and being anointed and being appointed and being blessed by God, not cursed by the devil or by the world in this earth. Amen. You know, what I'm saying again, I know God focused me very, very strongly this week. If there's people here today, even myself, that need to get out of a mentality here that we've got curses on our lives, that there's bad things around the corner for us. We got to realize we are already blessed because we belong to Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have already passed away already. Behold, all things have become new. Now, the problem is we don't always see that take place in reality as fast as we think it should take place. But God says you must quit calling yourself cursed because you are blessed if you belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? So, being blessed, calling yourself blessed, simply means I am coming into agreement with what God already says about me. God says I'm blessed. God calls me blessed. So I agree, no matter what I'm going through in life or feel like today, I am blessed. Now, we got to realize that and know that because if we don't say we're blessed, don't agree with God that we are blessed, we're not going to find ourselves living blessed upon this earth because there's power of life and death in your tongues. And God wants your tongue to line up with his mouth, and his mouth says, you are blessed. You are mine. You are overcomers. No weapon formed against you prospers. You are a blessed people, says the Lord. So moving on here. When Jesus talks in the Sermon on the Mount and gives this message, he defines here a thing that I call normal Christianity. He's telling the believers there, he's telling the future believers there as well, in the Sermon on the Mount there, I'm going to preach the kingdom of God. I like what Miles Monroe said in the teaching of our series a few weeks ago here. He said, Jesus Christ always preached the multitudes on the kingdom of God. He says, my Father's kingdom is going to be here upon this earth. It's going to also invade your lives, those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And my Father's kingdom is not like your kingdom. It's going to work inside of you like leaven in a piece of dough. It's going to work throughout the entire lump of dough. Now, we are all doughboys in God. Amen? And God's going to bring leaven inside of us called the kingdom of God, and it's going to start working in us to transform our minds, transform our thinking, transform our actions, transform our circumstances, transform the atmosphere around us, transform everything in our lives. We let it transform by submission to God's will and lordship of Jesus Christ. Not just Savior, but Lord of our lives. Amen? We are blessed. So moving on here. It's like he's saying, when the kingdom of God comes upon you, when the Spirit of God lives within you, there's going to be some changes take place into your lives. There's going to be some transformations. The old man's going to pass away. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And so he starts out and says these words, blessed are the poor in spirit. What's that mean? Poor in spirit simply means I'm humble. It means I realize I am insignificant as compared to God the Father in heaven. He is far above me, wiser than me. He is the creator. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. He rules and reigns forevermore. I am little compared to him, but I am great through him who works in me. And being, again, poor in spirit means I'm a humble person who realizes I am in need of a Savior. I'm in need of a God to lead me, guide me, direct me, bless me on the face of this earth. Now, what Christ is saying here is he's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit means you don't need to make yourself humble. Make yourself poor in spirit. Work that thing up by some religious works. He says, when the Spirit of God and my kingdom comes in you, it's going to start working in your mind and your very attitude, humility. You're going to find yourself being poor in spirit, being humble automatically as you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things, like humility, shall be added to you, says the Lord. Then he goes on beyond that and says what? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit because there shall be the kingdom of heaven. The reward of being poor in spirit, the blessing is not being poor in spirit. It's not being humble. The blessing is yours shall be the kingdom of heaven. So Christ gave the words first there that the world resists. All these beatitudes are things that ungodly people resist to the teeth. They don't want to be meek. They don't want to be humble. They don't want to be those that are poor in spirit. They don't want to be those that are tromped on by the world around them. They don't want to turn the other cheek. All these things that Christ talks about says your flesh resists these things. But if you'll let the kingdom of God work in you, I will transform your mind, transform your life, transform your thinking, and there shall be blessings and rewards on the other side of my Father's kingdom working in you to his good pleasure. It's going to make even more sense as I go along here. The kingdom of God in you will bring this transformation. These are largely undesired by unbelievers, but they will be working in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying here again at the very beginning, some of you folks, like Linda said today, there may be some dross and some chaff and some things that have caused even a little bit of hardening of the heart there. For you might find some of these attributes aren't working in you today like they were when you first received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The good news is God is the God of renewal, of revival, of breakthroughs, of refreshings, of new things, new works, and first loves being restored back to his people as only he can do. Amen? So normal Christians, normal spirit-filled kingdom of God Christians are poor in spirit, not because they make themselves that way, but because God makes you that way by his spirit. Number two, he says, next of all, blessed are those who mourn. He's not saying here again, go to church, hit the altars, make yourself cry and wail and weep over all your sins, over all your bad acts, and always be a person crying all the time. What he's saying here is, those who let the kingdom of God work in them will find themselves empathizing with all the pain of the world around them. God will cause you to weep sometimes over the sin of Austin. God will cause you to mourn sometimes over the loss of somebody who loses their life like Ed Starr, or what his own wife goes through, losing her husband of 50-some years marriage. God will cause us to empathize and mourn and weep for things around us because his spirit inside of us is mourning through us. We won't find ourselves living like that all the time or making ourselves do that. We're going to find ourselves doing that because God's spirit in us will cause the mourning to take place. But God says, you're blessed when you mourn because when you mourn, you're going to find yourself receiving a reward and a blessing that's called comfort. How many folks in the world are taking drugs, drinking alcohol, spending money, buying stuff, buying things, getting degrees, and storing up things for themselves to simply bring comfort to their lives? God said, blessed are my people who learn to empathize with needs around them. They are the ones who shall be comforted, says the Lord. We'll pay a big price for comfort. God gives comfort free of charge for those who say, let your kingdom work in me, that I find myself empathizing with needs and pains around me as you do, O God. Next, what does he say next of all? Blessed are the meek. What's the word meek mean? The meek means a restful and quieted spirit. Meekness means the flesh under control. It means a thoroughbred horse who's been trained to run the race and win the race, but he controls himself in the gate, does not kick, does not bite, does not whinny, waits there for the gate to open, then he runs full blast, and he wins a race. The meekest horse, they say, will always win the race because he's got his flesh under control. God is saying, you don't get your flesh under control by religion, by trying to do rules and try to make things up for yourself to accomplish. He says it just simply comes on you automatically as the kingdom of God works in you. But blessed are you when God makes you to become meek, because those that are meek shall inherit the earth. Well, that word there, inherit, means it means your destiny, your business, your marriage, all the things that God stored up for you to inherit upon this earth shall come to pass for you automatically as you let God's kingdom work meekness in you as only God can do. Next of all, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Again, we sometimes say, oh God, make me hunger. Oh God, make me thirst. Make me hungry, make me thirsty. What God is saying is, again, seek first my kingdom. Let my spirit work inside of you. I will cause you to hunger and thirst after the Bible, after the Word of God, after prayer, after praise and worship, after righteousness, says the Lord. You'll hunger and thirst for that, and the reward's going to be for you you're going to find yourself getting filled again and again and again. Amen? And so I don't pray to God any days, God make me hungry, God make me thirsty. I say I am blessed because I am hungry, I live thirsty. And because I live like that, God fills me again and again and again every day of my life. Amen? Do you see that? He's not saying work these things up and make these things happen by your flesh and your religion. He's saying these things will come on you automatically as you seek first the kingdom that works inside of you. He goes on and says, blessed are those that are merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Blessed be the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. All these blessings he talks about says, these will come on you automatically as you put God first in your life. And if you'll do that, let these things be work in you, I will then bring blessings and rewards that he talks about on the other side of all the blessings in Matthew chapter 1, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 7, okay? So we're going to spend some time right now on that last one that says, blessed are the persecuted, those again who are the ones who taken for righteousness' sake receive persecution on the earth. Because I've encountered God, I am empowered to be blessed in every part of my life and receive God's blessings in my life. And God is saying to us again, we don't need to be praying to God to be blessed. We are already blessed. What God is saying is God says he wants to open our spiritual eyes up. Let us realize the kingdom of God already lives in us. We are already Abraham's seed. We've already received the promises God's given to us in the Bible that are yes and amen. But though we see circumstances around us that are adverse to that, those things must not matter to us for a long time, because you are still blessed and God is still for you and God is going to see us through in Jesus' name. Every promise God gave Patricia, God's given Linda, God's given any one of us, God will see those promises will come to pass. But you must not let the devil and religion drive you down and try and curse you and say you've done too many bad things, too many evil things, you're not doing enough to make God happy. You'll never see the breakthrough take place for your life. You need to start telling yourself, I am blessed. I am Abraham's seed. And because God says I'm blessed, God never lies, I am blessed. And God will do what he said in Jesus' name. Amen? So moving on now, back to verse 10 again. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We tend to think that the blessing is in being persecuted. We tend to think in religion, we say, I'm blessed if I'm persecuted. Now, all of us in this room here have had some form of persecution take place in our lives. I've had it. You've had it as well. Amen? I did not enjoy being persecuted. I don't enjoy folks leaving me out in the break room. I don't enjoy dirty looks. I don't enjoy rejection. I don't enjoy folks saying bad things about me or my family. I don't enjoy persecution. And you don't either, amen? If you do, there's something wrong. You had a martyrdom syndrome and need to get delivered, amen? God doesn't want to give you a martyrdom syndrome. He wants to give you a Jesus Christ, kingdom of God syndrome, amen? We don't love persecution. But he said, blessed are those who receive persecution because theirs will be the kingdom of God. That's the reward. That's the blessing. Persecution brings in the kingdom of God into your life. And the kingdom of God is made of three things: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. All right? So the blessing here is you have the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Let's look in the Bible. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21 talks about the kingdom of God. It says, first of all, the kingdom of God is in us. It says, now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. So God's kingdom, the Bible says right here through Jesus, red letters, is already in each one of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. But also, the kingdom of God is outside of us. We actually have been placed in God's kingdom. It says this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 33. on the screen here as well. Our chapter 1, verse 13. Sorry, verse 13. It says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, of His love. Talked about love this morning. God has brought us into His kingdom already upon the earth. Every place your foot shall tread, God's kingdom is already there before you. We have the power to actually transform atmospheres, to bring forth conviction of sin, to bring forth an atmosphere of faith for healings and miracles. Every place you go, God's kingdom goes with you. It's in you, but it's also, you're in it. Every place you go on the face of the earth. These verses tell us God's kingdom is in us, and we are in God's kingdom already. Amen? You got to realize your spirit man is who you really are. This body's called a tent. This body's going to go away one day. Amen? But your spirit man is already alive by the blood of Jesus Christ and already living in the kingdom of Almighty God. We just need to get our flesh in line with our spirit. Amen? Let our soul in between there line up also with what God says about us by His grace. I'm going to move kind of fast here. I'm going to move along. How does His kingdom come in us? By accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, His kingdom comes in us through salvation. Amen? But also the Bible says, what else takes place? When you get saved, the Spirit of God moves in you. You become possessed by the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that as well. Then the Bible says, God in heaven becomes your Father. Then the Bible also says, like Linda said this morning, your name gets written in the club. You're in the clubhouse. You're in the kingdom of God in the Lamb's book of life. So your name's in heaven. Your name's in glory. Angels rejoiced at your salvation. All of God's kingdom knows your name. They know who you are. They've already welcomed you. You're already welcomed in heaven already, because the Bible says when one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. All of the kingdom of God takes note, because you're now a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. His Spirit's in you. The Father knows you. He's now your Father. The old Father is now gone. The new Father has now come. And God has given you a brand new name and written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. All these things taking place because God's showing us the kingdom's in us, but also we're in the kingdom ourselves. Because of that, we are blessed. Amen? There's only blessings in God's kingdom. We're taken out of the kingdom of darkness, the Bible says. We're placed into the kingdom of God. Last week I said God takes us out, that God can bring us in. Aren't you glad when God saves you through Jesus Christ's blood and salvation, that God says to us, or does not say to us, okay, you're now out of darkness over here. I'm going to bring you out of darkness. I'm going to place you over here in this place, and my kingdom of light is over there. But I'm going to leave you right here. I'm going to say to you, okay, you're saved now. Don't go back there again. Hope it goes okay for you. Hope you do all right. Hope you make it. We're rooting for you. Praise God. This is called the wilderness. God does not leave us in the wilderness. God takes us out of darkness and brings us into His kingdom of light. You're not in the middle over here somewhere trying to make it, trying to be good enough, trying to be religious, trying to work things out, trying to be like Linda was, not commit one sin or go to hell if I die in a car crash. You're not here. You are over here. You are in the kingdom of God already, the kingdom of light. And God says, now believe that, live like that, speak like that, think like that, because you are a new child, a new creation through Jesus Christ. Can you see that? That makes His Beatitudes come to a different light to many of us. We've been taught that Christ is saying, if you'll weep and cry, if you'll seek after peace, if you'll do this and this and this and this, like the Old Testament Pharisees, if you'll do things yourself in your own strength, then I'll do this. What He's saying is, because the kingdom of God is in you, I'm going to work these things in you automatically. You're going to find yourself mourning. You're going to find yourself weeping. You're going to find yourself being merciful. You're going to find yourself being kind. You're going to find yourself being a peacemaker automatically as my Father's kingdom works in you. And because of that, you are blessed. and you shall receive rewards in this life and the life to come. You see that? Okay, so God's not telling us that persecution comes to get us into the kingdom. It's a living and active kingdom. When it comes upon us, it starts changing our thoughts, changing our priorities, changing our attitudes, changing our speech, changing all things about us. This is the kingdom of God affecting our lives. So since righteousness is one of the Romans 14 kingdom of God attributes, that righteousness is going to attract persecution. God says those who seek after and embrace righteousness, there's going to be drawn to them automatically a thing called persecution. Those who endure persecution and those who are righteous are going to receive the kingdom of God upon this earth. I want to just give you right now, I just quickly just write this down in your notes, please, if you can. Write down the definition of righteousness. Because God has put righteousness in us as a living force, a living entity, to influence our lives for Him upon this earth. You know, the fact is, when old Bob or old Susie at work slights us, gets a raise instead of us, promotes themselves, talks behind our back, does evil things to us at the job, what do we do in our flesh? We try to think about ways that night to get revenge on them and make it bad for them next week. That's called human nature. God's kingdom says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And because His kingdom works in us, because He says, be full of righteousness, do the right thing, He says, no, the right thing is what? Turn the other cheek. Love those who curse you. Do good to those who despise you and wrongfully use you. Forgive those people who do evil to you, because such is the kingdom of God given to people who do things like that. You'll have My kingdom fighting for you, says the Lord. And I shall repay, says the Lord your God. Righteousness means this. Write this down. It means conformity to the claims of a higher authority. Conformity to the claims of a higher authority, and it stands in opposition to lawlessness. Now, that also is the same thing as having the fear of the Lord. What does the word fear mean in the fear of the Lord? We all agree here, we all need the fear of the Lord because God's word says to have that. Amen? The word fear means to live your life with a deep reverential sense of accountability to God. To live your life with a deep reverential sense of accountability to God. I don't find it a burden to be accountable. I find it a freedom. Amen? Because accountability means I'm under the authority of somebody higher than I am, and they can protect me, provide for me, and produce boundaries around me that'll bless and protect my life on the face of the earth. Amen? What's the best way to ruin sports games like baseball, basketball, and football? How do you ruin those? Take away all the boundaries. And the NFL games, what would it be like if all of a sudden they said, there's no longer end zones, just run the ball any place and you can score. There's no longer an out of bounds left or right. You can run in the stands, go up the stands, down the stands, on the sidelines, knock over cheerleaders. It's all okay, you're not out of bounds, there's no boundaries. What they said, you don't need to go get 10 yards in four downs. You can just take as long as you want. Just go ahead and take six downs or eight downs, get your 10 yards or 15 yards. There's now no more boundaries. That would totally ruin the game of football, amen? You see, we need boundaries on the earth to make things make sense upon the earth. Nothing will make sense to us when there's no boundaries. Only chaos exists where there's no boundaries. Amen? The next definition, write this down. Last one is that word lawlessness. What does lawlessness mean? It means violation to divinely instituted law. Lawlessness. Violation to divinely instituted law. Romans 2:15 says this. Romans 2:15. God writes His law upon our hearts. As James comes back to the platform here, I'm going to have to leave out some things. I may pick up some things next week on this as well. But I want to leave this one more thought with you about lawlessness and about human law versus God's divine law. Because there is two things working on the earth right now. There is civil law, man's law, and there is God's law called divine law. Now, man's law does not say to us, if I go eat over at Roadhouse, Texas Roadhouse Steakhouse for lunch today on Sunday, and the waitress brings me a cold steak and lumpy mashed potatoes and puts onions all over my meat, that I get angry and vengeful and say, well, guess what, waitress? You now are going to receive a 25-cent tip. That's what, you see, there's no law in Texas that says I can't do that. Amen? I'm not breaking any civil man-made law by doing that. But I am breaking the divine godly laws of mercy and compassion. And Jesus says, blessed, you'll be blessed, those that are merciful, because they know they shall receive mercy when they're merciful. Amen? So out of mercy, I realized the waitress had a bad day. It wasn't her fault. It's the cook's fault. She did her best. She's gone through divorce. She's gone through all kind of bad things this week, perhaps. Who am I to make her day get worse? I want to release to her the kingdom of God that's in me. I'm going to give her a 20% tip, 25% tip. I'm going to bless those who curse me. I'm going to do good to those who spitefully use me and put onions on my plate. I am going to extend mercy when folks give me no mercy themselves, because I know that I am already blessed, so I'm going to release mercy as a knee-jerk reaction to bad things in my life, knowing by doing that, I'm going to also see mercy come back to me also, no matter what. But the main thing is, I want to be merciful because God's law works in me. God's Spirit consumes me. I want to do that. I don't make myself bless a waitress. I want to. I look to do that. I love people. I love God. God loves people. So God's mercy working in me makes me want to bless waitresses who bring lumpy potatoes to my table and is late with checks. Amen? So James plays here something kind of softly here. I'm going to have to close with that thought. And I do want to say in closing here, the conclusion of this message is this. The kingdom of God within us has caused us to be blessed. God's saying to us this morning, no matter what your adverse circumstances may be like in the past or the present today, you are still blessed of God. When Daniel saw himself facing the lion's den that day, he may not have felt blessed that day, but we know he was blessed because God shut the mouths of the lions. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You see, we know that folks in the Bible faced adverse circumstances, but we still saw God's hand move in their behalf. And you are no different, because God is no respecter of persons. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now for a moment to pray. Let's just pray and believe God today, first of all, if there's anything inside of my heart, my mind, like our precious sister shared this morning. These folks went through such things of bondage in the past. They felt like taking their lives. They felt like being under total condemnation or guilt by one sin committed. And that's because they didn't realize that time, no matter what I'm going through adversely, God's kingdom lives in me, and I am blessed. I am blessed coming in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in the country. The work of my hands, the words of my mouth, they are blessed of God in Jesus' name. No matter what giant I'm facing in life, no matter what lion pit I'm facing in life, no matter what torture I go through by my workmates around me, I am blessed. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I just sense the Holy Spirit saying right now, just say it to yourself right now. Say out loud, I am blessed. Again, I am blessed. One more time, I am blessed. Now, Father God, let that ring inside of our hearts and our minds. Let us, oh God, know the devil's a liar. The culture around us cannot overwhelm us. We belong to the kingdom of God. And your kingdom, Father God, supersedes all the kingdoms of this world. They're all under the feet of Jesus Christ. Every name that can be named is under the feet of Jesus Christ. Cancer is a name. It is under the feet of Jesus Christ. Poverty is a name. It is under the feet of Jesus Christ. Divorce is a name. It is under the feet of Jesus Christ. Anger is a name. It is under the feet of Jesus Christ. Father God, I just sense also what the Spirit of God is saying. Remind me to go back where we first began. That was this. If you don't sense today, perhaps you're not sensing God's meekness, God's humility. You don't sense yourself empathizing with needs around you, pain around you, homelessness, abuse, starvation, people going through bondage by false religions. Those things don't even faze you perhaps right now. God is saying maybe perhaps there's been some things introduced inside your heart that's brought a hardening, that's brought a desensitizing, that's brought a coldness, an area that God wants to reopen and redig those wells in Jesus' name. Let's all stand to our feet right now, please. You might want to right now, if you would, just even give it, lift a hand or two hands to heaven right now and say, Father God, soften my heart, cleanse my hearts, remove dross, remove chaff, take away, oh God, thoughts of depression, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of anger, thoughts of hating my fellow man, thoughts of being cynical against my nation, against my government, against the nations around me, against sinful people around me. Lord God, remove cynicism from me. Remove a hardened heart toward people, God, from me. Remove, oh God, from me a desire to be into my own self, my own world, my own kingdom, and not your own. Remove, oh God, from me a selfish nature. I lay myself at the feet of Jesus Christ this day. And I say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I do live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And I am the one who lives by the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ the Lord. And I declare this day, I am blessed because you are blessed. And because you live in me, I am blessed. Your kingdom, Father God, work your kingdom's leaven in my life. Leaven the whole lump. Leaven the whole lump in the name of Jesus. Work, oh God, through my life. Let me be, oh God, a doughboy, a dough girl for Jesus Christ. Let that leaven, God, work inside my life that I may be enlarged. I may become enlarged in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I praise you, God. I thank you, Lord. I bless your name, Father. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. There's one more thing. You know, the Bible says these last days, because of the increase of darkness, wickedness around us, the hearts of many believers, the Bible says, will grow cold. It's because we're seeing things, we're hearing things, we're watching things, we're even listening to things that's influencing us for darkness. God is saying it's very important. Let the gates of your body, your ears, your eyes, your mouth, be consumed with God's kingdom. Don't become so spiritually minded you're no earthly good. Of course, we know that. But I'm saying don't also become so earthly minded you're no heavenly good. Amen? And let the gates of your body be guarded by the blood of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And let his kingdom work in you. His truths, his nature, his character, because he'll transform us. And we are blessed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's just give God right now a hand clap of praise to him for his goodness, kindness, and mercy to us. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, this day. Praise you, Father. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. We're so proud of our graduates. For go ye. The main thing is this Bible, this Word of God, if it's boring to read to you, ask the Holy Spirit, open my eyes. When I read this word, I realize it's a living, active word of God. There are answers, wisdom, and solution I need every day of my life. I read this because I need this. I need to receive what God's saying as alive, a living God through this Bible, this word. I want to pray to God, to spend time with him, because God will energize, God will strengthen, God will encourage, God will bless us in prayer, in praise, in worship. These things are not religious duties. These things are life giving elements that God breathes on so mightily by his Spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to get one of our graduates here. I'll help have Linda come to the front here and pray again today to dismiss us in prayer. You received your GLY degree. God loves you. Amen. And we'll let you dismiss and pray. We want to say a few things as
well.
Yeah,
I just want to say that, you know, we have wonderful ministries in this church, and it's just like what Pastor was sharing this morning. We just have to have that heart and a ear to hear what we need to do. And we have an awesome ministry here where we supply meals to people who need meals that are in need. that have maybe gone through surgery or for some reason can't cook or get to the kitchen to make meals for their families. And I know there's a lot of new people here, and some of you might have not done this before, but I have a sign up that is going to be out in the foyer here. If you want to participate in providing a meal for that a family or an individual who needs one, please sign up. It's going to be out there. Sylvia Sanders is the one who runs that ministry for us. She'll contact you. But it's an awesome way to bless somebody and just be a help. If you can't make a meal, you can always call for a delivery or whatever.
Yeah.
So just, I'm going to put that out there. Sign up if you can. We have some two families who need meals right now. So sign up if you can and be a part of that ministry in any way that you can. And thank you for helping in that way.
All right. Don't forget Newcomers Luncheon. Don't forget Wednesday night, the last teaching night for John Bevere's series as well. God bless you folks. May God use all of us for his glory this week.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for loving us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this word today, Lord. Let us absorb this word, Lord. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds that we just fall more in love with you every day, Father. Lord, we pray for Donna and the Kreitz family, Lord, and for Francis and her family, Lord. As they go through procedures this week, Lord, we ask you to just guide any surgeon's hands, Lord. Guide the doctors to be wise, Lord, to hear you, to just guide their hands, Father. We just thank you for this family. We thank you for your love. Bless us this week. Go with us in the highways and the byways. Let us love you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.